This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Friday's headlines, and we begin with that massive oil slick off the Gulf Coast, a slick that has now reached the shore in Louisiana, but could also easily hit Mississippi, Alabama, and the Florida Panhandle. All of those states very much on edge, some even already declaring a state of emergency. The wind pattern in the Gulf is not helping. The gusts are pretty strong, and they're pushing everything to the north, meaning that it's likely that within the coming hours, many more shorelines and sensitive wetland areas will, in fact, be hit with this massive slick, which many people now say is even bigger than the Exxon Valdez disaster off of Prince William Sound back in 1989. All hands are on deck from federal, state, and local officials. Two of the president's cabinet members already down in the bayou with Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, who told reporters on Friday afternoon that it's imperative that everyone work as quickly as possible to get this contained.
We're certainly urging the federal government and BP to deploy even more resources to help mitigate the impact of the oil spill that is threatening the coast of our state. We must certainly do everything we can to contain the oil spill that threatens our wildlife and vast natural resources. I'm certainly worried that the booms as currently deployed are not effective. The areas that will be impacted first by this oil spill, therefore, are critical and fragile coastal sites.
Jindal says that BP has been trying to get this under control, but it's obvious with their own resources that can't be done, and there are three major goals that need to be achieved now.
I do have concerns. I've shared these concerns that BP's current resources are not adequate to meet the three challenges we face. I've urged them to seek even more help from the federal government and from others. The three challenges we face are stopping the leak, protecting our coast, preparation for a swift cleanup of our impacted areas. We've also been working with local officials to assess their needs to help them request resources from BP and the Coast Guard.
Also on hand were Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano and Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, as well as the president's director of the EPA, Lisa Jackson, and his environmental czar, Carol Browner. President Obama briefly addressing the oil slick in the Gulf today as he made a statement on the economy in the Rose Garden. We'll get to the economic numbers in just a moment. But as for the environmental crisis down along the Gulf Coast, the president says it's important to have a full investigation and to find out if there are any new regulations that need to be added to the offshore drilling process.
I've ordered Secretary Salazar to conduct a thorough review of this incident and report back to me in 30 days on what, if any, additional precautions and technologies should be required to prevent accidents like this from happening again. And we're going to make sure that any leases going forward have those safeguards. We've also dispatched teams to the Gulf to inspect all deep water rigs and platforms to address safety concerns.
The president is also postponing additional leases until this investigation is done. Some in Congress, especially in the Democratic Party, say that's not good enough. They want this expansion plan to be scrapped altogether. That includes Senator Bill Nelson of Florida and Bob Menendez of New Jersey. More on that at dateline.radioamerica.org and worldnetdaily.com in my interview with Patrick Creighton of the Institute for Energy Research. For his part, President Obama says that it's important to remember that offshore drilling and production is an important part of our energy policy.
Let me be clear. I continue to believe that domestic oil production is an important part of our overall strategy for energy security. But I've always said it must be done responsibly for the safety of our workers and our environment. The local economies and livelihoods of the people of the Gulf Coast, as well as the ecology of the region, are at stake.
The main reason the president was in the Rose Garden early on Friday afternoon was to tout new GDP numbers, suggesting, at least in a preliminary fashion, that the economy grew by 3.2% in the first quarter of 2010. That's three consecutive quarters of positive economic growth. However, the 3.2 is substantially less than the 5.6% logged in the last quarter of 2009. Still, the president says, compared to where we were a year ago, things are looking up.
Today, we learned that in the first quarter of this year, our economy grew at a rate of 3.2%. What this number means is that our economy as a whole is in a much better place than it was 1 year ago. The economy that shrank for four quarters in a row has now grown for three quarters in a row.
The president also says that while the numbers are looking better, he's looking forward to much better news down the road.
So we've still got a long way to go on our road to recovery. There are going to be more ups and downs along the way. But today's news is another sign that we're on the right track. And we're going to keep doing everything we can to help our businesses take the baton and power our recovery today and lead us to a more hopeful and more prosperous set of days in the future.
Midterm elections still more than 6 months away, but major developments happening in a couple of those races. First of all, in the Florida Senate race, which at one time was supposed to be a Republican slam dunk, things have gotten a lot more interesting. It'll be a three-man race all the way to the finish line. As we reported on Thursday, Florida Republican Governor Charlie Crist is abandoning his bid for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate. He's staying in the race, though, as an independent. That means Crist will be running against a likely Republican nominee Marco Rubio, as well as the Democratic nominee, who at this point is most likely to be Congressman Kendrick Meek. Speaking on NBC's Today Show on Friday, Governor Crist says this is not going back on his word to remain in the race as a Republican. He's just giving the people of Florida a chance to have their say all the way to November.
This is going right to the people. This is making sure that all the people have the opportunity in my state to make this decision about who their next U.S. senator is. Nobody should be afraid of that. Nobody should be fearful of that. It's all in the people's hands.
Crist's decision, of course, follows a major change in the polls in the Republican primary, which now show him badly trailing former state House Speaker Marco Rubio. On the same program, Mr. Rubio is not buying Crist's explanation.
Voters are tired of being manipulated. I'm not going to go out there and reinvent myself to manipulate somebody's vote. I'm going to tell people what I believe in on the issues, and then they can either support me or not support me. And either way, you know, that's the way our republic was designed.
Another major political development in the state of Florida. Four-term Republican Congresswoman Ginny Waite Brown says she will not be running for Congress again here in 2010. The deadline to make that decision was, in fact, today. So expect a contentious primary there. It is believed to be a safe Republican district. The Congresswoman has battled some health issues in recent years and recently even underwent some surgery. She says it's time to step aside for health and other reasons. Also, you've heard about the major immigration debate, obviously, emanating out of Arizona. Very quietly this week, the U.S. Congress passed a piece of legislation that could, according to some critics of the bill, put Puerto Rico on the path to statehood. Now, they say that's not the case, but there will be a non-binding vote now among Puerto Ricans about whether they want to head in that direction. Some say that it's time to allow the Puerto Ricans to have a vote in Congress and to become the 51st state. Others say it's just a grab to have a few more Democratic votes in the U.S. Congress. Also in the interview section today at worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org, please find my conversation with Texas Congressman John Carter. His district includes Fort Hood, and Congressman Carter is livid that the Obama administration has still refused to label the massacre at Fort Hood 6 months ago as a terrorist attack. He explains why that frustrates him and why it's very important that it be labeled a terrorist attack for the families of those killed and injured as a result of those horrific shootings, again, 6 months ago in Fort Hood, Texas. Also, more analysis on the Florida Senate race and how that's changed with Richard Benedetto, former longtime White House correspondent for USA Today. We'll also talk about how the developments in that race are also a cautionary tale for the National Republican Party. All that, plus our End of the Week Fun with the Capitol Steps, dateline.radioamerica.org, worldnetdaily.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.